We're going to go back to Matthew chapter 6. Still working our way through the Lord's Prayer. I always enjoy lessons that seem to take as long as I do for something. Matthew chapter 6. Let's begin verse 9. This first half of verse 9 is what we looked at last time. As this matter, also therefore pray, our Father which art in heaven. And then here's what we'll work on here today. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. That's as far as we'll get today, but I'll continue on. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And we want to look at these next couple of phrases. Looks like in the book, page 37, correct? Page 37 is where we want to start with the phrase hallowing God's name. What does it mean? Well, let me get past those songs again. What does it mean to hallow something? I know someone in that corner is going to say something about kind of taking out the middle of the log or something. Hallowing out a log. But what is the name hallow mean? What is it? What is the action? What is, how do we hallow something? Again, that's a King James word that I don't use anymore. We know we probably have memorized and eloquently saying, hallowed be thy name, but what does that actually mean? How do we accomplish that?
Just honoring his holy.
Yes, to a point, yes. As the very first bullet point there says, this is a request of worship for God's character, for all people to recognize God's glory and worship Him for it, and as well for God to uphold His reputation and act in accordance with that. It's not obviously that second one. It's not that God even can. He's perfect in all that He is, but to hallow His name ultimately is a request of worship of God's character to promote Him. In fact, you can see from the books the next two big bold points are His holiness and His glory. Ultimately, hallowing something is pointing out God's holiness and pointing out God's glory in all that He is. And so as we consider just the very first part of that model prayer, hallowed be thy name, we want to begin with God's holiness. Holiness describes God's perfection and uprightness, that He is separate from sin. God is ultimately separate from sin. Now, He's not holy merely because He is separate from sin, but because He is holy, He is separate from sin. If you follow that. In other words, His character is who He is. His essence is who He is. And because of who He is, there are things that are resultants of that. Because He is holy, and He's perfect in His holiness, that ultimately means that He is separate from sin. There can be no sin in Him and of Him. And so He's not holy because He's separate from sin. He's separate from sin because He's holy, if you follow that in the right order there. Ultimately, He alone is the source and spring of goodness and moral right. By praying that God may be hallowed or made holy, they're really asking that we and others would personally have a greater understanding of the character and the holiness of God, that we truly grasp who He is and the facet of it, of His holiness. God desires us to be more like Him in that holiness. 1 Peter chapter 1 says, as obedient children, not fashion yourselves according to the former lusts and your ignorance, but as He which hath called you is holy, so be ye holy in all manner of conversation, because it is written, be ye holy, for I am holy. And secondly, we become holy by exposing ourselves to Him continually. Holiness, as far as our signification of becoming like Him, it does not just happen because we think it should. It doesn't just happen because we want it to. It doesn't just happen because, well, I've been saved for X amount of years. We become holy by exposing ourselves to Him continually, by pursuing Him, by searching out Him and His Word, by abiding with Him. And so those are things, obviously, a whole different topic, but God's holiness. God's holiness also describes His distinctiveness. Think of all the gods, and there's a lot of gods, low G, plural, that are mentioned in the Word of God that obviously we know are all false. gods that are prayed to. Still today, there are a lot of gods, multi, plural, that people pray to, but how many of them answer those prayer requests?
One.
Yeah, there is only one that hears and responds. He is the only one that can answer our prayers. And when you think of his very essence and all that he is in that reality, it should be a marvel to us. The secondly, aspect of hallowing God's name, his goal of glory. God works to do everything for his own glory and promote his goodness. Now, that sounds like a lot of people today work solely for their own glory and promote our own goodness. Obviously, when God does it, he does it without sin. When we do it, we are completely wrapped up in sin. He deserves glory by his nature and by right of the ownership of that nature, by right of the essence of who he is, by right of the character of all that he is. Jesus prayed many times for God to be glorified in numerous verses in that regard. And so as we consider John 12, 13, and 17, God works to do everything for his own glory and for his own goodness. And he's given us ultimately the same task of glorifying our God. Getting ahead of myself here. Which means then to hallow the name of our God requires me to pursue, requires us to pursue, requires you to pursue an understanding of all that God is and all that he continues to be and all that he can never be, and that ultimately on the other side of the coin. And to hallow, to make it known. I got into the all the here. God, glory means whole honor, worship, praise, and recognizing God's greatness. The way we live should direct people's attention to God, not to us. Really goes back to the morning message. We should live such a contagious life that it directs other people's attention to him, not to us. Hallowing again. God's name means, in essence, that I disappear. It's not about me at all. I disappear from the spotlight. We should not desire any of it. We should not pursue any of it. This is a about myself and others grasping the very nature and reality of who God is. We have a quote from Andrew Murray. The sooner we learn to forget ourselves so that he may be glorified, the richer our own blessing in prayer will be. No one ever loses anything by sacrificing, I can almost put in the word, everything for the Father. The sooner we learn to forget ourselves so that he may be glorified, the richer our own blessing in prayer will be. And if we could understand the relationship that we could have, if we could just but forget ourselves. And I know that much has been and could be said about social media. The whole objective of social media, unfortunately, many times is self-promotion. Me, look at me, here I am. And I think there's a way that social media can be, if it's used properly, can be a benefit. But we have to be very cautious because it is, it's by its very nature, is... Here I am, look at me. Well, as Andrew Murray points out, the sooner that we learn to forget ourselves, that it's not about me, it is then that we can truly then begin to honor him and glorify him and hallow him. In other words, I can't say, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Oh wait, well, I have any likes. How many people have commented? Do people like to do a selfie that I posted? You know, we're completely contradicting. I'm going to be praying in that sense, hallowed be thy name. I'm ultimately saying, this is not about me at all. My life is yours. It's in your hands. And I want myself and I want everybody else to know it's about you. And how contradictory when we quote and pray and sing the Lord's Prayer, but at the same point, live out such a life that, hey, look at me. Here's my selfie. Here's my post. Here's what I'm doing, here's what I'm eating, here's what I'm saying, here's what I'm thinking, here's me. That completely contradicts everything of what Christ is trying to teach us in prayer. It's not about us, it's about him. And to hallow his name simply means, it's not about me, it's all about him. And that is ultimately, it has to be our desire. Andrew Murray, let's see, about the beginning of the first half of the last century, early 1900s, about 1960s, I think is when he passed away.
So,
long before Facebook was ever founded, but the principle still remains. The sooner we learn to forget ourselves so that he may be glorified, the richer our own blessing and prayer will be. No one ever loses anything by sacrificing for the Father. Then we continue on in the Lord's Prayer. Hallowed be thy name. What comes next? Thy kingdom come. The coming of the kingdom of God. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, the next phrase there. God's kingdom is generally defined as the universal reign of God. Before it gets a little technical, so bear with me here. God rules the hearts of believers, and God rules over both the physical and the spiritual realm. The coming of God's kingdom. Now, there's several facets of the coming of God's kingdom, so here we go. His present kingdom, right now, today, here in Tulum, New Mexico, Arizona, Turkey, and even North Carolina, where my two boys are. His present kingdom, we enter it at salvation. And a couple of verses there in Matthew 18:3 and said, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Hebrews 1:13, "Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and has translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son." We must have attitudes of repentance, humility, and faith to allow God's rule in our hearts. Now let me do a caution, let me do a preface, even just on that bullet point. We are not saved because we make our God Lord of our lives. We are saved because we understand what God did for us on the cross, the atonement of his death for me, for my sin. And are calling on to our God to save us from that, from the penalty of our own sin. But once we are saved, then, and we are entered into, as it would say, the present kingdom, the body of Christ today, is how we say it, we must have an attitude of repentance, humility, and faith to allow God's rule in our hearts.
Now, it's great when we say, well, if the Lord's not Lord of all, then he's not Lord at all.
But, you know, ultimately, which is 2 point true, but if I'm not going to be repenting and I'm not humble and I'm not walking in faith, I'm not allowing God to, you know, regardless of what I say, I'm not allowing God to rule anything. And we need to be reminded of God's present kingdom today. Second point. Third, entering God's kingdom brings blessing. Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and what will happen? What's the blessing? All these things shall be added unto you. All these things, if we back up a few verses, are talking about what shall I wear, what shall I eat. The things that many times we worry about, the very simple natures of the necessities of life, even we would call them. And when we put God first, all these things shall be added unto you. God's present kingdom. Present kingdom living, then, requires us that people must hear the gospel in order to accept salvation and enter God's kingdom. We have a responsibility. Again, back to the morning's message. We have a responsibility because if the gospel be hid, today it's being hid from whom? The lost, those that need to hear it. The people. Exactly my last point. The people. If the gospel's hid, it's hid from the people. So we must hear the gospel in order to accept salvation and enter God's kingdom. That's a responsibility on our part as well, then, to share. Living in the kingdom, then, again, this is almost a duplicate of my message here this morning. It requires sacrifice. Luke chapter 18:29, he said unto them, "Verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or parent or brother or wife or children for the kingdom of God's sake." And what a reminder of that present kingdom living today. But I'm glad that it's not just here now. As Paul said, if it's just about today, we are men most miserable. This is the extent of the journey with our God, then where's the hope for eternity? Where's the hope for that which comes? So we have God's future kingdom. The present kingdom of God will exist, obviously, into the future. There's several pictures that are given. We've gone over some of these, I think, already. In Matthew chapter 13, he goes over plants, speaking about the parable of Christ speaks a parable. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a man which sowed good seed in his field. While men slept, his enemy came, and sowed tares from the meat, and went his way. When the blades sprang up, remember this parable? The blades spring up, and we have good seed, and we have tares. And remember what the workers say? What do we do? How do we fix this? What happened here? And I believe the question is even asked, should we go, and should we pull the weeds out? Should we pull the tares out? And I think the bearer will be the lord of the field. The master of the fields, and they'll let them grow together, and then when you harvest, you separate the one from the other. And so we have the future kingdom illustrated in plants. Again, Matthew chapter 13, it says, and also the kingdom of heaven, talking on 11, same idea in verse 33 in fake parables. Kingdom of heaven is like on 11, which a woman took and hid a few measures of meal, so the whole was leaven. And then as well, a traveling nobleman, and that's several verses there in Luke chapter 19. But continue on. What do these scriptures have in common? What is in common between the seeds of the field, the leaven, the yeast, the traveling nobleman? What do those three illustrations have in common in regards to God's future kingdom? You know, we just had a lot of beef. Our digestion has kicked in. We even had some laughter downstairs, so it really kicked in, from what I understand. Very true, yes, very true. There are practical aspects of it. How else do they all connect? What do they have in common?
They have both the aspects of true believers and then, well, the tare and the wheat. And the
yes.
And the sword of the failed.
Yes. Very true. Yes. Very true. Kind of explains it here in the next 10 points. Jesus thought that while the kingdom exists in believers' hearts right now, it will continue to grow until it becomes supreme overall. And I combine all three of those together into one. God will also establish a literal kingdom in the future when Christ returns. Something that Muriel spoke much of before she passed away, and long before she passed away, that little aspect of that literal kingdom in the future when Christ returns. And boy, for some dear lady who loves horses, she is longing for that day when she gets to come back with the reigning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Riding horses, what she always talked about. But anyway, as you continue on, when we consider about praying for God's kingdom, praying your kingdom come is a prayer for the future absolute reign of Christ to come quickly. It expresses a desire for the time to come when everyone will, challenging word in today's era, but submit to Christ, when finally there will be peace and joy. For the kingdom is not meat and drink. Paul says in Romans 14, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. So as we pray, thy kingdom come, we're ultimately praying, obviously acknowledging that we're part of, in essence, the kingdom of God right now, right in the present. But we're longing for the day when Christ truly is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And when there truly is finally righteousness and peace and joy here on this earth. Christmas time is a time when peace and joy are two words that are often heavily promoted, and rightfully so, as it was presented at the birth of Christ. Peace and joy was here among us. But that peace and joy is not something that we will ever obtain outside of Christ. And that peace and joy is ultimately never obtainable here on this earth until Christ truly is in full reign. And I just can't imagine from going through beginning the wonderful election cycle again, and all the fighting back and forth that naturally takes place every 4 years or 3 years or however quick it happens again. And well, there's going to be a day when there are no more elections. There's a king who's the King of Kings, and there's a Lord who's the Lord of Lords. And at that point, there will be peace and there will be joy. And all those that are part of that kingdom will indeed submit to Christ, which that will be a marvelous day as well. Continuing on, we are praying that Christ will reign in our hearts personally. That could even obviously involve today, right now, here now. Praying that God will rule my heart today. Here in my notes. As we consider then God's will, thy kingdom come, the next phrase,
thy will
be done on earth as it is in heaven. When God's kingdom has come, then his will comes to pass on earth unhindered, just like it currently does in heaven. We also pray that God will make us submit to him so he can work in us. When we consider the very reality of God's will, and boy, much can be said about God's will. It's interesting that in this, what is that, 3 pages in your books of notes, that the will of God has this much space, and all the rest of it, and obviously has much space from all the rest of it, but in those 2 bullet points, as far as what God's will is, I think it really kind of helps us out as we search for God's will for our life. What is it that God's will is? What do I seek to search for? What is my longing? Ultimately, God's will is when God's kingdom has come, and this will come to pass on earth unhindered, just like it really does in heaven. And in so praying, we are asking that we will learn how to be submissive to him, to his will, his way. A lot of times, I think probably if we were honest, and probably even as teenagers, if we were honest, a lot of times we pray for God's will in such terms as though I want God's will to be what I want right now. Here's what I want. God, this is what you should do as well. This is what you should want for me as well. But completely opposite as far as the will of God goes. How can I change? Several quick screens here. Several Psalms to go over to identify how God's actions are consistent with his name. Psalms 8, 25, 106, and I don't know why the my OCD or whatever is kicking in and says that should be, the lesson should be reversed. But nonetheless, find additional passages that reveal God's character through his actions. I spent time praying that God would hallow his name in these ways. Just those 2 bullets, what a great time of just considering who God is as is revealed for us in his word, and then pray that God would hallow his name in those ways, even in our own hearts and in our own lives. And then lastly, praying for God's kingdom leads us to submission to God as king. Spend time praying that you would be submissive to Christ as king and be obedient to his will. And again, a direct reminder that we're not saved because he's Lord of all. We're saved because of the cross. But boy, it should be our objective that we would submit to him because we are saved. And to walk after him because we are saved. To pursue after his word because we are saved. To live for him because we are saved. And to even pray that God's kingdom now, in the limited form that we are able to enjoy, would begin to take root in our hearts. As we live out submission and obedience to our God. Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. And next time, I guess in 2 weeks, we'll continue on. If there's any questions, get all the answers, all the lines filled in. Before I pray, I think we have some games, probably 2 games even, possibly. They're actually just regular games. So they're not games we came up with. They're games someone already else has done, right?
Correct.
I don't know if we've all played these games before, but I will leave it up to my daughters who play them in the downstairs arena. But then we will also as well have some nachos and all those things if there's still room in general.
Perseverance.
What was that?
Perseverance.
Perseverance. And there's going to be pressure. But perseverance. We're just stop right there. Let's just pray. Dear Lord, we thank you for who you are. We thank you for the kingdom. We thank you for the very reality that our lives have as we pursue you, as we strive to follow after you, to submit to you in our lives. And boy, a challenge that will really follow us for the rest of our lives here on this earth as we learn to submit, as we learn to follow, as we learn to really put into action the very simplicity of the words, hallowed be thy name. I just pray that we understand your will and that we would strive after it. And we thank you for what you'll do. We thank you for how you'll do it. And I pray that you'd use us from the youngest to the oldest as we grasp the truths about prayer. And we thank you for that in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be dismissed. Downstairs. Leave me games, baby.